There's been a lot of work done in the field of cancer treatments in recent years. I asked Bill Newell, the CEO of Sutro Biopharma, to bring us up to date.
I think most people, when they think about cancer therapy, think about chemotherapy. And really, that was the first generation of drugs designed to kill tumor cells. Now, the problem with chemotherapy is that it also kills healthy cells. And so there is a limit to how much chemo you can give a patient. And we know that the more chemotherapy that you can give a patient, the better the outcome for the patient will be. But the toxicity of these drugs really prevents them from being fully effective in eradicating the tumor cells. And so ultimately, they become ineffective and the tumor progresses.
And this is part of why, with the healthy cells, that's part of why we lose our hair and all of those side effects?
That's correct. There are certain toxicities associated with the chemotherapies. Some of them can be managed with other drugs that have been developed in the industry. But in the main, chemotherapy has not proven to be effective in curing cancer. It can prolong a patient's life, but there's a cost to the patient in terms of quality of life. And that's really one of the limiting factors of that approach to therapy. It's still the mainstay of cancer therapy, but there are other new and emerging therapies that are trying to build on that and use the antibodies that have also been developed as a second generation of cancer therapy to go after tumor cells and try and disrupt them.
Now, while we're developing new treatments, we've actually learned a lot about how cancer operates. It's different than we thought about 10 years ago, even.
The understanding of the tumor microenvironment has vastly improved over the last decade to 15 years. And we know that tumor cells do not just stay the same. They're not homogeneous all the time. They mutate, and therefore drugs that may be effective at one stage of cancer may cease to be effective as the tumor becomes a different type of cell and requires a different type of intervention.
So we have this complex cancer with many different kinds of cells. This is a hard challenge.
It's probably one of the biggest challenges in medicine that we have today. And we've made great strides over the last 15 to 20 years, but we're still at the early stages of the battle. Our objective at the end of the day is to turn cancer into a chronic disease. I'd like to think in our lifetime we could achieve that. I think the opportunity to eradicate cancer completely is probably many, many generations away. But if we can turn it into a chronic disease, then I think we're able to help patients manage through cancer the way we help them manage through other chronic diseases. And then we're working on improving the quality of life that they have while they're battling their cancer.
Now, what's Sutro done? What's its focus?
Sutro is focused on antibody-drug conjugates. Now, these are molecules that take the best of the chemotherapies and they combine them with the best of antibodies so that you get a targeted tumor attack. Think of that as a smart bomb going after the tumor cell. You get an antibody that preferentially recognizes the tumor cell. And attached to that antibody is a warhead, a chemotherapy agent, but more potent than the type of chemotherapy agents that exist today. You would not be able to give that warhead as you would give traditional chemotherapy because it would kill the patient. But in the micro dose that you attach to the antibody, it goes directly to the tumor cell, and then the warhead gets released within the tumor cell, and it does its damage,
and
killing the tumor cell.
It's gone. Now, let me ask you this. I think with the antibody, it's the whole idea. It's like, well, how does this antibody get developed? How does it find just the tumor cell? How's that relationship evolve?
That's a very elaborate scientific process. What you're really looking for at the discovery stage is an antibody that ideally preferentially recognizes the tumor cell. And there are a lot of techniques that we have for identifying those antibodies and screening them. Once that antibody has been identified, you're able to show that it does not associate itself to healthy tissue and healthy cells, but goes preferentially to the tumor cell. You do that. Yes, you do that through in vitro work. You do that, in the lab, and then ultimately you try and confirm that in animal models as well. Getting the antibody right is only part of the equation, though, for an antibody drug conjugate. Each antibody is different, and if depending on whether you're going after a breast tumor cell, or a pancreatic tumor cell, or a colon tumor cell, you're going to be looking for different antibodies that are going to be recognizing those tumor cells. And so that's a very complicated process. Once you've got that antibody, then you have to identify the right agent to attach to that antibody, and you have to identify the right method of attaching that agent to the antibody. If you don't attach it properly, when the antibody drug conjugate gets introduced into the patient's system, it may go to the tumor cell, but it may have lost the warhead before it gets to the tumor cell. If that happens, you get off-target toxicity, which will limit the effectiveness of the agent. So you have to find the right combination of antibody, linker warhead, and the right site, and make sure you've got a homogeneous molecule so that you can identify the appropriate therapeutic for the patient.
Well, even if you can link what we're calling the warhead here to the right antibody, could you have a too weak warhead, or could you have one that doesn't actually work the way you would hope it would?
That's one of the tricks in this battle against cancer. You have to identify the right warhead to associate with the right antibody. There are a couple of classes of warheads that are attached to antibody drug conjugates that have been approved by the FDA, but there are only a couple, and there are many other types of warheads that are under development. And what we at Sutro believe we want to do is to identify the right warhead for the right antibody for the right tumor. And if you can do that, then you make certain that you get a powerful enough warhead for the antibody drug conjugate that you're making, and that you don't end up damaging healthy cells in the process. And that's it's a trial and error process that typically most pharmaceutical companies spend years developing one single antibody drug conjugate, because most companies have to develop an antibody, and then they have a method of conjugating the linker and the warhead to the antibody that is relatively nonspecific. In other words, there are lots of locations in which that linker and warhead might be attached to the antibody. And at the end of the day, they produce a mixture of antibody drug conjugates that has what is known as a drug antibody ratio to it, typically around 4, which means that there are 4 warheads on any individual antibody. Now, in that mixture, some of those warheads are in various locations that are different from other locations. And in that mixture, an antibody might have no warheads, in which case it would not be effective to kill the tumor cell. It might have as many as 8 or 9 warheads attached because of the conjugation method, and that would make it too toxic. But on average, there are a number of antibodies with drugs associated with them that are effective, but there are a number that are ineffective or overly toxic. What we attempt to do is to identify the exact placement location for a warhead on an antibody and make certain that it is not associated with that antibody in any place other than the place that we specify. So if we decide that we want a drug antibody ratio of 2, we have one location in either the heavy or light chain, and since there are 2 of them, you end up with a drug antibody ratio of 2 that we specifically conjugate our linker warhead to. If we decide that a drug antibody ratio of 4 is better because we want more warhead of that particular type going to the tumor cell, then we have 2 locations. Again, it could be heavy or light chain, or one location in each of the 2 chains to attach our linker warhead to. So it's a really complicated design metric that you have to go through. Now, we make our antibodies in less than 24 hours, and so we can make many different antibodies with many different attachment sites, and we can compete many different linker warhead combinations. And so in the span of 6 months to a year, we're able to winnow down a large number of trial and error antibody drug conjugates to a discrete number that are most likely going to be the candidates that we advance into clinical development.
So where are you with all of your candidates in terms of, you know, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3?
We're at the very exciting cusp of having a candidate that we've nominated to take into the clinic next year. So our first antibody drug conjugate, we expect to put into phase 1 clinical trials in the latter part of next year.
That's safety and toxicity.
That will be, in cancer, you do your phase one trials with cancer patients, as you know. And so we'll be looking at the safety profile of the molecule, but we'll also be working on getting the dosing regimen right. Now, cancer trials have evolved from when I first got into the industry, where you did a very small patient set for safety purposes, even though you were trying to treat cancer patients, and you hoped you saw a signal in some tumor type that would then inform you about a larger study, 1B study is what we call it, or maybe an early phase 2 study, to explore the efficacy in a larger patient population with a particular tumor type. Today, we tend to think of larger phase 1 studies where you have a number of cancer patients with different tumors, and you're working to establish the appropriate dosing schedule, check the safety parameter, but now you've got enough information that you can envision a second cohort after you know what your dose is, where you're actually doing an expanded phase 1 study to try to prove in principle at phase 1 that you are having the desired effect on a tumor cell. And that's the sort of design that we're talking about starting next year. It's a design that, for our purposes, could have up to 150 patients enrolled in it in phase 1, which is a significant phase 1 study.
It's almost like we're expecting more out of phase 1. It's like we're still safe. We know we're safe. We're changing doses. We're changing patients. But we're expecting more information out of there. And I would say that's the advantages would be time and money.
We have a better understanding of the molecules that we're taking into the clinic, and particularly with these antibody drug conjugates. We have a lot of information about how the antibody binds to the tumor cell, how the antibody drug conjugate gets internalized, and how the warhead that we've designed specifically for that antibody drug conjugate actually operates to kill the tumor cell. And we've chosen the right warhead. So we know what to monitor early on in the clinical development work that we do, and we're able to really get a lot of bang for our buck. And the advantage of being able to do a study that's larger than we used to do is that you're able to really get a signal for the patient population much earlier. And cancer patients need many new therapies. And the earlier that we can identify the right cancer therapeutic that might work for them, the better off everyone is going to be.
And the drug you're going into phase 1 with, what target cancer or cancers are you looking at there?
We're going after hematological malignancies, so B-cell related cancers. And that's an area where there's been a number of advances in the field, but there's still a significant unmet medical need. Patients who are on current therapies don't really get a break from the current therapies, and we'd like to offer a therapy that can be used in combination with other therapies, but then give the patient some time off from their other cancer therapies so that they can get the best quality of life for themselves and their families.
Bill, thank you so much. I hope you'll come back, see us.
I'd like that. Thank you very much for having me today.
Bill Newell is the CEO of Sutro Biopharma. More information is available on the web at sutrobiopharma.com. That's Sutro, S-U-T-R-O, sutrobiopharma.com. For Biotech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.